Please to 1 Samuel chapter 22. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And David is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, in the Old Testament, I should say. He was an underdog. The Lord used him greatly, and that nobody would have thought, nobody in his family, nobody around him would have thought that he would be a king. And but before a king, a great warrior as well, the Lord had to prepare David to be the next king of Israel. And if you just read through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you'll see of all the things he did. And King David, he was actually very brutal. He was a brutal man. And very respectful as well. I remember preaching a sermon to the here at chapel for the school, and I was talking about respecting your authority. You could see David's respect for King Saul, and he still had great respect for King Saul, even though King Saul was trying to kill him. He was trying to kill him. King Saul was disrespecting David. He didn't like him because of his success. And David had many chances to kill Saul, but he didn't because he knew he was the Lord's anointed one. And you see in the end of the book there, he finds out who killed Saul. And he had fell on his sword, and King Saul asked one of the soldiers to kill him, to finish him off. And the soldier listened to King Saul, and he killed King Saul. And David asked the soldier, "Hey, what happened to King Saul? Who killed him?" He said, "Well, he told me to kill him, to finish him off." And David was mad about that because he was the Lord's anointed one. And David killed the guy. He was just brutal. And but the Lord had to prepare him. He was going to be the next king of Israel, and he needed to be tough. Let's go ahead and read our two verses for tonight here. This is going to be our foundational verses for tonight's sermon. The title of my sermon tonight is The Underdogs. The Underdogs. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 22. The Bible says this: David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. We see in this chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 22, David gathering 400 men to use as an army. In this part of the story of David, he is being persecuted by Saul. King Saul is jealous of David's success, and he wants to kill David. And David hears about this by his good friend Jonathan. Jonathan tells David that his father Saul wants to kill him. And after David hears about this, he decides to run away and hide from Saul. A lot of people know about David doing the big things. You know, he killed Goliath, and he was the king of Israel. But a lot of people don't pay attention to the little things of how God had to prepare him. And he went through betrayal and all these things. People don't really read that part. They don't talk about that part. That's where we're going to be in here tonight. And in the process of running and hiding, David decides to build an army, and that's exactly what we see here happening in verses 1 and 2. David did not have the luxury of picking the best of the best soldiers. We see there in the Bible, it said that, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. David had to work with what he had. He didn't pick the strongest, the wisest, the smartest, nor the healthiest soldiers, nor the wealthiest. We see here in verses 1 and 2, he got the ones that were in distress, in debt, and discontented. and they gathered themselves unto David. These people, they saw something different in David, and David was willing to accept them no matter and what, no matter the condition they were in. You know, there's a man named Jesus Christ who's willing to take anyone into his army no matter what condition they're in. Whether they be alcoholics, drug addicts, porn addicts, adulterers, fornicators, homosexual, murderers, idolaters. He's willing to take anyone into his army. You can see here that David represents a type of Christ. He's not Christ. He represents a type of Christ. These weak individuals saw him as someone that was willing to take them in no matter their condition. And in the same way, Jesus is willing to take anyone no matter the sin. Just like David. I mean, he didn't pick the best. He didn't have the wealthiest or strongest. The Bible's clear they were in debt. I mean, they had problems. They were discontented, but they still gathered around David. Jesus is the same way. He'll take anybody. It doesn't matter the sin. We see at the end of verse 2 that David became a captain over them that gathered around him. Once we join the Lord's army, he becomes our captain. It's kind of like that song you could sing with in children's church with the bus kids. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom on the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Raise your hand if you've heard that little song there. Yeah, it's very famous, well known. I'm in the Lord's army. Then all the kids go, yes, sir. Once you join, you decide to trust Christ as your Savior, you are now part of the Lord's army, and he becomes your captain. We are gathered here tonight as the body of Christ, the church. We are the church, okay? It's not talking about so much the building. We meet in the building. We are the church. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is what? He's the head of the church, okay? And just how we heard this past Sunday, he's the head of the church. He is the leader, okay? Jesus Christ is our leader. Just how the man is the head of the woman, that's what the Bible says, in a relationship, he is the leader of that relationship. We are the body of Christ. And Jesus, he's the head. Okay, amen. And let's go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 18. Let's go to Matthew 18 here real quick. We'll be reading verse 20. The Bible says this. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. A very famous verse. Jesus is saying here, where there's two or three people gathered, I'm right there with them. I'm right there with them. The Bible says, right now, we are what? We are gathered together. He is in the midst of us. That's what the Bible, just how David had his men gathered around him as their captain. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ is gathered around us tonight as our captain. He is the head of the church. He is in the midst of us, the Bible says. But with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into point number one for tonight's message. I won't be taking too long. First point for tonight is, he used the distressed. He used the distressed. Distress means to suffer. You could say from an anxiety or some type of pain or an addiction. And that's the ones, those are the people David had in his army. Usually when you think of the word army or a soldier, you know, you're thinking of someone in a uniform. The Bible doesn't really say, but I don't know. They probably didn't have fancy uniforms or any of that good stuff. But I mean, he used those that were in distress. I mean, they had problems. Perhaps maybe addictions. I don't know. Some type of an anxiety. I know that's a lot of people, they struggle with that today. Everybody has an anxiety. And they don't even go to the doctors and they're not diagnosed with it, but you still have an anxiety. But I mean, David used those people. He used those in distress. And let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to use those in distress as well. I mean, Jesus, he wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use all of us. And regardless of your weakness, I mean, it doesn't matter what your weakness here. Everyone in here, everybody in here, including myself, we all have weaknesses. We're not perfect. We're not perfect people. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible says this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The way the Apostle Paul becomes strong is when he leans on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want God to use us as a church, I mean, you could say all this stuff. Well, you know, we're a small church. We don't have that many young people. The teenagers say, well, we only have older people in the church. Well, let me tell you something. I always tell the teenagers, God can still use us. And I believe God wants to use Vision Baptist Church in a great way. If I were to tell you the things I can see with this church, I mean, the growth I can see in this church, you would think I'm crazy. So I just won't say anything. But God can use our church in a mighty way. David had the weakest men. And I mean, if you read through 1 Samuel, you'll see of all the victories he had with this army of 400 people. The way we become strong, just the way the Apostle Paul becomes strong is when he leans on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same way for us. The way we become strong is when we lean on him as well. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I hope you brought your Bibles with you because we're going to use the Bible in church tonight. I don't know if you knew that. Matthew chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 28 through 30. And I mean, Jesus, he's willing to use, I mean, just anybody. He can use a young man, a boy. We're learning a new verse. We're trying to learn a new verse in the teen class. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example unto the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. He could use a young man, a young lady. It doesn't matter. Don't say because I'm a kid, God can't use me. God can use you. Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11, the Bible says this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We have to come, we have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, so he can give us rest of our distress. You feeling an anxiety? I mean, you got stress, you're living in a stressful situation right now. You have problems or a pain, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, he'll help you out. He'll help you out. And he'll still use you. It doesn't matter the weakness or the problem. The Bible says in verse 29 that we will find rest in our souls when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, Matt. I'm a very stressful guy. I don't know why. That's just the way I am. And I've learned, okay, especially since I've been working here at the church, I actually just learned this 2 weeks ago. Shame on me. I just got to sit down sometimes and pray and meditate on God's word. I've been doing that for the past 2 months now. I should have been doing that since I got saved, but I just never really understood how to do that. And I mean, I've been doing that, and I just feel light. Like I could just, I'm trusting in the Lord. I don't need to worry about anything. A lot of Christians, they'll just start worrying about a lot of stuff, and they start pushing God aside, and all these problems come, and anxiety, stress at work. Hey, don't forget to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find rest for your soul. Amen. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Let's go to our second point for tonight. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, that he used the ones in debt. He used the ones in debt. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. If you're a born-again Christian, your wages of sin, your debt is already paid for. Jesus paid for it on the cross. There's no point in looking back to our past sin, looking at our struggles and beating ourselves up, beating yourself up. Jesus Christ, he already paid for all that. Amen. And I mean, David, he got those that were in debt. I when I was a young man, I used to watch a lot of guys on YouTube. You know, these real estate guys. I wanted to be a businessman, so I would watch a lot of, you know, these rich guys on YouTube that talk about money and the don't get on debt, into debt. And I'm pretty sure you know Dave Ramsey. Everybody knows that guy. And I mean, supposedly he's one of the best when it comes to, you know, money and all that advice. And I always used to tell myself, I'm never going to get into debt. I'm never going to do that. That's foolish. That's a foolish move. And I mean, life just happened to me, and I got into debt. I'm paying off my car, and I never wanted to do something like that. I'd rather just buy a $3,000 car, but my car broke down in my last year in Bible college, and I didn't have any money, so I had to get that red car that I'm driving. And I never thought I would be in debt. But it can happen, folks. And David used those that were in debt, too. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be reading verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Bible says we are bought with a price. We were sinners, we were once lost, and we were in debt. And because for the wages of sin is death, because of our sin, we needed to pay by going to hell. But Jesus, he paid the price for us. That's what he did. And let's go to Matthew chapter 20, back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. And we'll be reading verse 28, Matthew chapter 20. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom for many. Okay, let's go to, let's stay there. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Another word for redeemed, you could say, is saved. Okay, just like the hymn, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's already paid for our debt. He's paid for our sin. The Lord wants to use us. Because of our debts, because of sin. He already bought us with his blood. Jesus paid it all. He wants to use us because of our weaknesses. I remember it was actually a missionary here. What's his name? He's from Mexico. Pastor loves the guy. He's got a orphanage. Yes, Pastor Dor. Man, I remember he said something so powerful. He We took him in the teen class, and he was sharing a few words with the teenagers. And I've never thought about it this way. And he said, I told Pastor Dor, Pastor, do you think God can use these teenagers? And he said, yes. And I told him, well, do you think he can still use them, even though because of their mistakes? And he said, God loves to use us because of our mistakes. And I mean, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you said. Whether it happened today or yesterday, God still loves you and he wants to use you. It doesn't matter what any of that. I remember when I first got saved, I used to beat myself up so much of all the things I did in the past, of things that I was still doing. And many times I was about to quit. I remember for a whole week, I was depressed because of something I did in the past. Literally, I was depressed. I've never been in depression. I was in depression for a whole week. I skipped school for the whole week. And I was just in my room. I was sad. I mean, sad out of my mind. I've never experienced depression in my life. And it was all because of something I did in the past. And I said, God will never use me because of this. And I mean, I was depressed. I was in bed the whole week. I didn't get out of my room. I told my mom what was going on. And she gave me some space. And I finally met up with my pastor. And he said, you know, I don't know why you're doing that. I mean, Jesus, he's taking your sin and he's throwing it as far as the east is from the west. And I mean, God is good. Jesus Christ, he's good. He's paid for our sin. He's already paid for it. It's already done. He paid for it on the cross. And let's go to our third point for tonight. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, when David was building or gathering an army, the Bible says he used the discontented. Discontented simply means to be dissatisfied, okay? You're fed up. You're frustrated. The reality is, if you're dissatisfied, you're foolish because God has already given you enough. God has already given you a lot. There is nothing really to be unhappy about. And I mean, he's given us the most important thing, which is eternal life. That's if you trusted Christ as your Savior. We shouldn't be unhappy all the time, frustrated all the time. I mean, Jesus, he's good to us. And I always say this, everyone in here, you're sitting down, look down. If your belly is covering your belt, you're more than blessed. Amen. And I mean, God is good. He's good. And there's no reason for you to be unhappy here in church. He's good to us. And maybe you feel dissatisfied about your abilities. I used to feel like that all the time in Bible college. I remember all these guys, I mean, they were so smart. They were great singers. They were bus captains. In Bible college, it's a huge thing if you're a bus captain. There's only, I think, in the college, 10 routes. In the college, it's about 300 students. And they only pick 10 guys to be the leaders of a bus route. And I remember, man, these guys, you know, I used to compare myself so much to these other guys. I mean, when we would have competitions in the college, I could never win anything. I mean, there was these guys that went first place in the preaching competition. There was guys that were winning second place in the playing the piano against other girls. They were just wonderful players. I mean, they were just good. I mean, great singers. I mean, this is what I've learned. Don't compare yourself to other people. And I mean, I would look at my grades and they were just not good. I said, you know, God's never going to use someone like me. I always say that. And maybe you feel like that too. You feel like you're not enough. Well, then go ahead and join the Lord's army because he'll use you. Right. He will. And I can prove it to you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And don't get offended. This is Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to amaze, you know, the smarty pants, the know-it-alls. God has chosen the foolish things. That's the reason why you're in here tonight. God has chosen you. And like I said, don't get offended. That's just Bible right there. God has chosen the foolish things of this world. God has chosen the weak things of this world to amaze those who say they are strong. God loves to use the underdogs. I mean, he used David when he was a young shepherd boy to amaze the world by killing the giant Goliath. I mean, just imagine that. A little boy taking down a giant with a slingshot and a rock. It wasn't so much the slingshot and the rock. I mean, I've seen videos on YouTube. Scientists, I mean, they're trying to measure how far David was from the giant. And they try to measure the speed of the rock. And they say, well, this could have happened because, I mean, if you, they got some guy that knows how to use a slingshot that David was using to try and prove that, man, that slingshot was powerful. You know, it wasn't so much David, and it wasn't so much his five smooth stones and his slingshot. It was the Lord that was with him. It was God that used David to take down the giant. He used Joseph, the youngest of 12 brothers, to become second in command of all Egypt. His older brothers thought, Joseph's older brother, they thought he was crazy. I mean, he was telling me he's getting these dreams that they're one day going to be bowing down to him, and that he was going to be some type of leader. I mean, they thought he was crazy. His own brothers, they betrayed Joseph. They sold him into slavery. And I mean, a lot of bad things happened to Joseph, but God meant it for good. And I mean, he used the youngest brother out of 12 brothers to be second in command of all Egypt. I mean, he used a man named Peter. Peter, he wasn't very smart. Peter had no education. And he had a big mouth. That was Peter. And even betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Peter right there. But after Jesus, he was the leader of the apostles. And he preached a powerful message at Pentecost. And saw 3,000 people get saved. I mean, God likes to use the weak things of this world, the foolish things of this world. Don't think because you're not that smart, or you know you don't have these abilities, or probably you don't know much Bible, don't think God can't use you. God can still use you, and he wants to use you. Like we read in the beginning, David had an army of underdogs. But he had massive success. David had massive success. And the main part of that, the reason why, was because the Lord was with him. Maybe you're in here tonight, and you got a lot of struggles. And that's understandable. You're human. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Maybe you got a lot of struggles. You have addictions. I mean, you're fighting things that nobody knows about. If you just stay close to the Lord, he's willing to help you out. And not just help you out, but he wants to do bigger things with you. He wants to do bigger things in your life. But that all depends if you're willing to stay close to him. Yes, we're going to have struggles and addictions, and we're going to have problems in our lifetime. But God, he's willing to forgive that. What he wants is for us to stay close to him and to grow in him daily. Daily. I mean, it takes time. It's not just like that. It takes time. But you have to do your part, and you say, you know what? I want to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves to use the underdogs as well. Trust me, he loves to use the underdogs. Will you trust in him to use you this year? That's what I want to ask you tonight. Will you trust God that he will be willing to use you? Just stay close to Him. Stay faithful in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Take some time throughout your week to read your Bible and pray. I mean, just trust. Just trust. Sometimes the process of trying to get sin out of our lives, trying to live and do the right thing, it can be tough. And sometimes you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I mean, if you just trust, you just keep going forward, you're faithful, you're going to see the wonderful things that God can do in your life. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes.